Hi, everyone. It is me, Megan. I am giving you an additional disclaimer before the disclaimer, because the next couple of episodes that you're about to hear, our world's coverage for 2024, was recorded a few months ago. It was recorded back in like early April. And so obviously, because of like the nature of linear time, things have happened since then, such as retirement announcements and program announcements and coaching changes and like horribly disturbing scandals. And we just wanted to ultimately present you with these episodes in the spirit that they were recorded, even though it took us a little while because of various life circumstances. We're fine, by the way, but just it's been a rough year overall. So all this to say that, you know, were we to talk about the exact same skaters right now in July, we might have different opinions based on different information that we now have, but we will talk about them. In the meantime, we really did want to get these episodes out because we really are proud of them, and it was an amazing event. We wanted to talk about it. So we hope you enjoy.
The podcast you're about to hear is a comedy show intended for an adult audience, and it contains explicit language. All opinions are our own, and we may sometimes go on tangents that are not at all about figure skating. Strap in, enjoy, and remember, our safe word is quad sal. Let's go. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Neda. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm finally doing well.
Yay!
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, it's been one day we'll start an episode by being like, we're fine and we've been fine. Everything's been great.
Wow. I hope and pray.
Yeah, I hope and pray. Basically, the second I got back from Montreal, because spoiler alert, this episode's gonna be about me being in Montreal for Worlds.
It's about Megan's trip. It's not even about figure skating.
It's not. I basically just got a really bad upper respiratory infection like the second I got back, and I had like no speaking voice for a while.
Oh, no.
And then I was kind of getting it back, and then we had a huge snowstorm. Prince was right. Sometimes it does snow in April. You know, and then I was like, oh, shit, what if he was right about all the weather and we're going to get purple rain? Oh, shit.
No, don't say that, because the weather is so fucked that I would not even be surprised if we get epic guitar solo purple rain. Purple
for real. Rain. Anyway, well, during that snowstorm, it was like 2 days of the power and the internet being off and on, and it was unpredictable. So this is the first chance we've had to like actually talk about it. And I mean, like kind of off air or on air.
I literally don't know what Megan has been up to, because it was funny because, I mean, we've had this experience before where one of us is in the arena and the other one is just at home on TV, like live texting, and the other person is not texting back because they're busy experiencing. Capital E experiencing the arts and epic highs and lows of figure skating.
It was also funny though, because texting with you, you'd be like, oh my God, is it crazy that you're there right now? Like, is it so surreal and weird? And I'm like, yes, but also like in some ways it's also surreal and weird to watch on TV. So yeah. I felt like I was like, oh yeah, we're all
what
kind of watching the same thing.
Figure skating is just weird.
Now that is a thesis statement.
What if we should get Jordan back for the third time and we can talk about like all of the possible POVs for skating and discuss whether or not it's just weird across the board, regardless of where you're watching it or doing it.
Yeah, well, blanket statement for my entire experience of watching all of this skating that happened is that my eyesight is not incredible, even with my glasses. I also had an experience that was really stupid that maybe we're going to do a bonus episode because we were a tiny bit late for our March bonus episode because of the aforementioned agonies.
Everything.
Yeah. But we are going to do kind of an extra stories from Worlds thing. And I'll tell you all about how I almost broke my glasses and couldn't see Worlds. But anyway, even when my glasses are not broken and they're working fine, my eyesight's not fantastic. And I can't see like the details of a lot of like facial expressions or techniques or what blades are doing as well in person as I can on TV. And so I have to kind of let that aspect of my watching go. So I might have less, even less than usual to say about technique stuff. And I guess a little less to say about facial expressions. But, you know, anyway, I'm sure you can fill me in. They were happening. Yeah.
Everyone was emoting like it's the end of the season and they have rent to pay.
Yes, that much was clear for sure. Yeah. So shall we talk about it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited.
I'm so excited. So anyway, Worlds happened. It was, what, two weeks ago at this point, or 3 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. It just feels like so much has happened since then. Yeah, 2 weeks ago in Montreal, I was lucky enough to be there. I was invited to go with some friends of the pod who are first and foremost friends in real life, I should say. It wasn't just like a random listener invited me to go. But yeah, I went with some friends. I went with my friend, a friend of the pod, Jules, and her mom, Laura, and her husband, Joe. And we live close enough that we carpooled up. I mean, yeah, we drove up, which was cool. And I sort of wish I had paid more attention to the scenery, but I kind of ended up just like, on my drive up, I did a lot of crocheting, which I'll get into later. And yeah. On my drive back, I mostly just slept because I was tired. But
I mean, that is fair.
Yeah, it's also like I would be seeing mountains, right? And like, granted, different mountains, bigger mountains, in some ways better mountains, or at least prettier mountains. But at the end of the day, I do live in the mountains. So it's not like totally, I can never see this
like
again.
I'm familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. But Montreal is such a cool place. So we stayed in an Airbnb and it was very cool, except for the fact that the alarm went off like every time anything moved within 3 feet of the door. Like anytime it snowed while we were there. So like this little snowplow going through, the garbage truck, everything set it off. And it was very complicated, but that was my only complaint. Otherwise it was a really cool place. It had, heaters under the couches. And so you would sit there and be like, why are my feet hot? But I like it.
That is, I don't think I've ever heard of heaters under the couches. I've heard of like floor heating.
Yeah, like heated floors are super great. It was a similar deal, except it was coming out from like under the couch. Anyway, this is all superfluous and maybe better suited to the Patreon episode, but I'll say it's a very walkable, cool city and we saw such a small, tiny little corner of it, right? I had been one other time when I was like 10 or 11, and I was obviously not navigating at that time. I was kind of just like playing my Game Boy and following my parents around. So I kind of don't count that as much, but we were able to walk to the arena. It was like a 10-minute walk. And it was very, very cool. So A-plus city, would absolutely return. The arena was very cool. It was interesting. It was definitely big. It was not as big as I was maybe expecting for Worlds, but my primary experience with international competitions is at Skating Club of Boston, which is very small. So comparatively, it was a lot bigger. It felt like a pretty standard hockey arena. And it was gorgeous, though. I mean, it was really, really stunning. The lights and everything was like kind of Northern Lights themed, and the projections on the ice and all of the Kiss and Cry was gorgeous. And it was all just like really lovely. I thought it was really a good production overall.
It was a good production in general on screen as well. I thought the organizers did a very good job of just how the stream behaved and everything.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And one thing that I think is interesting when we have one of us there and one of us on TV is we get to compare the color correction of the TV. And so I can tell you that everything looked a little bit redder on TV than it did in real life. So, like, I would be looking at a costume that seemed like yellow-orange, and then Netta would see it as, like, red-pink. So that's an interesting one to note.
And I was watching on two separate screens, and both of them would look slightly off from whatever you were saying. So it was just like across the board, a different color correction for the screen, I guess.
Yeah, even the big, large screen in the center of the arena was a little bit pink tinted. I don't know. But I'm trying to remember. I don't believe they have that at Skating Club of Boston. I think it's a hockey thing. Where they have the big giant screen in the middle. And so it was funny because every single skater, and I saw almost every single one in the entire world's competition, every time somebody started, I found myself looking up at the screen, and then it took me like 3 full seconds to remember that I'm there in real life and I can look at them. Like, I can look down. Look, yeah. Because I'm so trained to see them on screen. I'm like, yep, this is how I watch. Oh, wait a minute. They're right there.
I've done that at like concerts when you have screens on the sides of the stage.
Yeah.
I think I saw half of the Imagine Dragons show that I went to last summer on the screens just because I was looking at the singer guy. I think his name's Dan, because he's very handsome. So I would like look at him like very up close on the screens, and I'd be like, oh, he is mere meters away. I can actually just look at the man.
You don't have to imagine Dan. You can just see Dan.
I don't have to imagine Dan. And that is on topic, sort of. Should we talk about men?
We should. We absolutely
should.
Speaking
of Imagining Dragons.
We absolutely should. One more thing I want to say, too, before, because it's kind of relates to all the disciplines, is that they, you may have seen this on social media or heard about it from friends who were there in person, but in lieu of, like, the backrooms warm-up footage, those of us who were in the rink got these really funny, they looked like Smash Brothers intros of, like, every skater in the top two groups basically did, like, a really short, like, piece of choreography or, like, a little, like, pose, or it was just a really short video, like, an intro video for them, and it was very serious, and they would announce them all, and this was for the free skate. Like, basically, I think from what I heard, they recorded all of these from the skaters during warm-ups. They had one for every skater, and then they put it together for the last two groups of the free skate based on who was in the top 12 or whatever. And so I was kind of obsessed with this. It was very awkward and weird. I will admit that I missed most of the women's one. I was in line for a coffee, and they had screens in the concourse, like in the hallway, so you could kind of see what was on the screen in the arena. But so I could see it a little bit. I missed some of them, I think. But from what I understand, the women's ones were pretty like dorky and like haha, like finger guns, you know. And then the men's ones were all them doing like, this is my choreography, behold. And there was that meme that went around of them to like the Last Airbender intro, like earth, water. It was very that. It was really funny. But the edits going around do not capture what actually happened in real life, which was that it was a tiny bit glitchy, and it made it so.
Oh, no.
But not even in a way that I think would have bothered you. I think it was like they would start the clips like a second before whoever was recording would be like, okay, go. So it would be like a second of the skater like standing there. And then
they were
would...
all millennial pausing?
Yeah, and then they did
the None of them were millennials.
Then they all did the thing, right? And then it would, like, for a half a second before it went to the next skater, it would loop back to the beginning. So it was, like, bookended by this awkward, like, thousand-yard stare. And it was the timing of it was so funny. I was, like, peeing my pants. It was so good.
Oh, my God. That just feels like it was fed into, like, a VLC player, the daughter loops or something.
Yeah, exactly. It was like the timing was just slightly wrong, and I totally get it. Like, I have to do live broadcast stuff for work, and it's just, I have to do some tonight, so I'm probably gonna fuck that up as karma for being like mean about this. But I was laughing really hard.
That is so funny. Meanwhile, you kind of mentioned it on the stream. We did get backrooms footage, which I always enjoy so much because you can see everyone just kind of astral projecting while doing their little warm ups. And then you see people from, like, the leader groups walking in looking like complete rock stars, which is also very enjoyable. But it's also broken my brain because for the past 2 weeks, I've been walking into my rank, which is a normal thing to do. This is how you get places. You don't just appear places much as I would like to. But I would be walking in, and it's very much spring here. It's bright and sunny and beautiful. I would walk in with my big sunglasses and everything, and I'd be like, oh my God, I would look so good on the backrooms camera, which is an insane thought to have, but, you know.
No, that's called, like, romanticizing your life.
Oh my God, I'm romanticizing my life by imagining I'm on the ISU live stream backrooms camera.
Yes, exactly. So
men?
Do you want to start with men? Yeah. So I think I'm trying to remember. I'm pretty sure that I saw women first, but it doesn't really matter because I don't remember anything that happened. So yeah, let's look at the men.
I said men because I said Imagine Dragons and it felt like a good transition.
It really does. So I think, do you want to talk about the top, like, not three? Like, can we go a little further? Can we go, like...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What, top, what is it, 40? Top 40? Yeah. Should we do top 40?
American top 40.
God.
We could honestly, do you want to do, like, top 10 or 12? And we don't have to do everybody, but, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's do that.
Fuck it. Okay.
Let's completely do that.
Yeah.
Let's do top 11.
Let's do top 11 for the men. For some reason. For some reason, that actually feels like a lot better to me to do top 11.
Yeah. Okay. No reason at all.
No reason. So in 11th place, we have Alexander Selevko, who
the People's Princess.
The People's Princess. And I still to this day cannot figure out whether I ran into him in the hallway because he and like a couple of the other, like Litvinov, like a couple of the other, like, really beautiful, like, Central European boys all look a little bit the same to me, or, like, if not the same, then, like, I have a hard time matching their faces to their names and their countries on command in my head, which is awful, and I'm very sorry to these men. But I saw someone who I just knew I recognized as a skater I had seen earlier in the competition, who was entering the stadium to go watch the last groups. And this is, like, after the short, I think.
Yeah.
And we kind of locked eyes, and I was like, oh, I wanted to say hi to this kid and say, like, hey, you did a great job, or I'm a big fan or something. But, like, I was like, I can't do that if I don't know who he is, because it's going to come up. Like, he's going to know. I can't bullshit my way through that. So I'm so sorry to this man, but I can confirm that whoever I saw, and I think it was Mr. Selevko, was a very beautiful tiny man who was a human being who existed in 3D. I can confirm that.
Fantastic. I'm just so happy for him. It feels so important. Estonia has been making such a statement lately in both men and women's. And it's just very exciting. I honestly... I mean, it was such a terribly deep field and everyone did so, so, so good. But I could have very well imagined him even higher than the magical top 11.
The men meant so much. But, like, yeah, I would say I was actually a little surprised that he didn't finish higher. But really, really, really wonderful to watch. I mean, everything you would expect. He's just a really entertaining, big, dynamic skater. Big in terms of, like, his gestures, not, again, in terms of his stature, because none of them are. And that's something that you really strikes you when you're there in person. You're like, wow, no one's
except
tall.
For the ones who are so tall. And we'll talk about that when we get to women, because I will roast you.
Okay, perfect. I love it. In 10th place was Junwon Cha. That was a sad one for me.
Yeah. I'm sad for him. I know he's coming back from injury and he knew that this was going to be kind of what he was aiming for. But I just hope he lets that fuel him to, first of all, rest and heal more and then come back even stronger next year.
Yeah, and I felt really badly because I was in one of the corners and the jumps that I forget if it was the short or the free, but it was one of the skates where he was like, it was like every other jump he was like falling or not falling. So it was like, you couldn't get a handle on like whether he was flopping or not. And I felt bad.
That is sort of his MO. Let's be honest.
Yeah. That's
and I adore
true.
Him. That is slash positive.
Yeah. the ones he was landing were in the corner away from me, and the ones he was falling on were right in front of me. And I'm like, what if it's me? I felt so bad.
What if he saw that you threw your hair up in a messy bun and he was just so distracted that he kept flopping?
Oh, see, I was thinking more in terms of like I had rancid vibes, but.
No, I think you were so strikingly beautiful that you distracted this. And I say this with so much respect, gay little man.
Who is this 34-year-old American woman with a very red face?
You don't know what he's into.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, it was sad. It's sad. It's sad to see somebody. He's one of the people I was the most excited to see. And I've seen him twice now flop. And I feel like one day I will get to see
it might be you.
I like maybe one day I will get to see him. Like, I'm hoping to go to Worlds next year because it's in Boston, which is even closer than Montreal.
I mean, you simply gotta.
I simply must. So if he's there, God willing, I really want that to be his year. Third time's a charm. I need to see my boy not flop.
What if he wins Worlds next year?
I would love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility if he is super healed. And I saw a video of him just doing quads again, like a couple days back on the internet. So it feels like he's, you know, training and strong. So that's good.
Yeah, and what I will say about the boy is that, as we've kind of noted, the boy, the Bat Boy, the Batman, as we have noted,
Bat Boy.
Oh my God, as we have noted this season.
Hello.
Sorry, I'm a teacher. So as we have noted this season, he has gotten a lot better, even last season too, at not just completely throwing out the entire thing after one mistake. He really stays with it, and he'll still give you like a cunty sit-up sequence if he's, you know, done a bunch of falls on the jumps. Like, he'll stay with it, and I really appreciate that. So that really made it for me. I was like, okay, even with the mistakes, we still got to see like a good entertaining performance.
Yeah, because it's the end of the season, believe it or not, I'm so sad. It's always like so bittersweet when it's Worlds and it's so exciting. And then I'm like, but that's it. That's it until like late August. But I will be saying this for a lot of them. I will miss his Batman so much because I'm assuming he's going to change it. He never sticks with programs for longer than a season historically. But I love this Freeskate so much for him. Like, dark mystery boy works for me very much, and I'll miss it.
Yeah, and it's hard to say because a lot of skaters, even those who change up a lot, will stick with a program if they were injured and felt like they never got to do it to their full whatever. So, I mean, like, fingers crossed, maybe that'll be his thing, but we'll see. I did grow to like it. I thought it was silly at first, but I did enjoy it a lot.
I was sold, like, from the very start. So I'll miss. I'm assuming he seems like the kind of person who wouldn't want to keep. He's already worn the blouse, Megan. Like,
that's true.
You gotta get a new program for the new blouse.
Yeah, he can't repeat a blouse. We know this.
Absolutely not.
He's many things, but he is not a blouse for Peter.
Nikolai Memela was in ninth place.
No, that's a tall kid.
I love this kid.
That's a tall boy.
That's a very tall boy. He is 6'5", which is insane for a normal person.
That's insane for anyone.
More insane for a figure skater. It does make all of his jumps look so scary to me because it just feels like he's flying so much.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy him.
I really enjoy him. I really loved watching him. I think, you know, the tech aspect of it pleasantly surprised me because I kind of knew going in that was sort of where he was working towards improving and that his you know, hype was more around his presentation. And of course, that was incredible. But yeah, it was great to see him do so well and kind of surprise himself, I think, too.
Yeah, I think he would not have guessed that he was going to end up doing this well. I'm thrilled for him. I love, again, his free skate is so beautiful. He has had it for 2 seasons, so I probably won't get to enjoy it anymore. But there is just something about like a lyrical, balletic boy that really works for me sometimes, and he really carries that vibe. Like, very truthfully, it doesn't feel pretend, which I enjoy.
Yeah, the kids are all right. The Italian bambinos are all right.
Oh, the bambinos. Yeah, I enjoy him. He is fun on social media as well. I'm thrilled for him.
He's a childish bambino, is that anything?
Yeah.
It's something.
Yeah. Sounds like a Italian drag king. Or something.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that what skating is? Is about being an Italian drag queen?
I mean, a lot of it is about that.
Well, there you
like,
go.
Like, honestly, a lot of it is about that. Count Mira exists.
Oh, God, that was so sad. It was so sad. He was devastated. It was like, that was not what I wanted to see.
He just had a shaky Worlds overall. 10th in the short. It sucks because he was giving those interviews, you know, being like, you know, kind of hyping himself up that he deserves to be there because obviously he comes from such a deep national field. And I agree with him. And I really hope he doesn't let this event get in his head because he sounded like he's done a lot of work of like hyping himself up. And I really hope he continues with that vibe because he's a very, very talented boy.
Yeah, and we know that he was throwing down insane combos all week in practice.
Yeah.
And obviously there's some speculation of like, did he tire himself out? Which is like, we have no way of knowing. But we know he's capable of it, which is, you know, really exciting. And I think, it was just really sad. He's another skater who I've seen twice now and neither time has he done well. So I'm worried it's me.
Oh, no. I'm sure it's not. I will say it is, and I love him and I respect him. So this is not, I don't mean to be disrespectful. It's very, very funny to finish in the like proximity of the judges, like this big dramatic finish when you haven't done really well. Like there's something so funny to me about like being so intense and then just being like, yeah, I know. And just kind of walking away from the judges.
You know what it kind of reminds me of is that video of Alyssa Liu like dropping her trophy and then striking a pose.
And just like doing a little TikTok pose.
Yeah, and just being like, here I am, world. It's very bad. It's like, ta-da.
Oh my God. You know what? This time next year, we're probably going to get to be talking about them.
I'm so stoked. I can't even, I'm so excited.
The journey that this child has been through with me, I used to be so tired of her. And now I'm like, genuinely so fucking hyped that she's coming back. It's
oh, it's the best. Yeah, I think Young Yu's best bestie is coming back, and that's all I care about.
Yeah, we're gonna get so much content. It's gonna be so good, and both of them are gonna have good seasons, and it's gonna be incredible.
It's so true. Denis Vasiliev finished in 7th place.
Denis Vasiliev's is such a man. I love him so much. Can we talk about The Lion King?
So The Lion King took us by surprise. We only had one titty shirt, and it was a little sad for me to say goodbye to the titties, but we still
but
saw
them.
But he
looked so beautiful in this red. Yeah.
Yeah, we still saw them. And it was funny because there was some speculation that it was a practice shirt and it wasn't even a costume. And I'm like, I can see why you would think that. I truly don't know, but it worked.
It was beautiful and I enjoyed it. I love this program for him. It moved me in ways that I did not expect to be moved.
It was such a correct cut from The Lion King. Like, I think He Lives in You is, like, my favorite Disney song ever, maybe. Like, I just Same. Think it's such a good song.
It's up there for sure.
Yeah. It's so good. I think everyone was really on board. And I will say, like, after his short program, even, like, before, he could have kind of done anything for us free, and we would already have just been, like, eating out of the palm of his hand because his short was so captivating. Like, I really think that, I don't know, I think in the same way that you get this feeling after watching Jason Brown, like, oh, we're so lucky to be alive and watching skating. Like, I really, really got that with Denis. I really think Denis has reached a point where he's giving artistically the same level of like over the top stuff as a Jason Brown. And I would love to see him rewarded for it because it's just one of those things where like you get this on TV too. You really do. But like in person, I was like, wow, this is just something else. This is totally something else than everything else we're seeing. And then he comes in and does Lion King after that.
Yeah, no, he is so special. And he's really grown into, he's always been an incredible performer and incredible at connecting with his music. But I think the past like 2 seasons, he's really grown into, I think, believing his own hype as well. And kind of removing himself from, I don't think he's ever had a big problem with this, but the thing we talk about of when people kind of shy away from the earnestness of it, you know, I think at this point he is so completely in it to just perform and connect. And all of his interviews and stuff really, really emphasize that as well. I think he's very self-aware about the absolute connection that he has to the music and to the audience. And it is very moving. Also, showing up, being so undeniably good and skating to the rightful king is king shit. It is king shit.
Extremely. It really is. Yeah, I loved that for him. It was breathtaking.
I hope he fucking keeps this program. Imagine if he changes programs and we only got Lion King once.
That would be fucking chaotic and I wouldn't put it past him. But like, yeah, I really do hope.
Again, I think I said that on the productions episode, but there's finally a direct flight from Sofia to Riga, Latvia. I know he doesn't live there anymore, but I will find him if he changes this program when we've only seen it once. I will fly out to somewhere in Europe and I will find him.
Yeah, and
that's a promise.
You know what's crazy? So the one like critical response I saw to it, like I saw this from a few people, and it was basically like it could have been any music, or like he was just doing random moves to whatever. I see this a fair amount and I about various things, and I think sometimes it's true. I think that there are skaters who are so disconnected from the music that they could be doing anything to any program and it wouldn't matter. And then I think that there's, on the other end of the spectrum, there's stuff that is so lyrical and so very tightly connected to the music, like of course it was for that music, right? And like I would say Lion King falls somewhere in between, but what it doesn't bother me, because Dennis is the one who makes that connection between the choreo and the music. So it's like, yeah, the choreo could have been anything, but like it didn't matter because Dennis made that connection. That's what kind of matters. It's not like, I mean, it comes down to the skater of whether they can make a piece of choreo work, even if it's not literally him like walking around on giraffe stilts or whatever.
Yeah, I would be upset if he did.
I wouldn't, actually. I think that would be fascinating.
It would be terrifying.
It would be really funny if there was a production of The Lion King where everybody, like, as is, I believe, like, the casting standard is black, and then Dennis was, like, the white giraffe for some reason. But
the one white gazelle.
But we'll talk about Lucas Brzyczki in a minute.
I'm sorry for the noise I just made. Let's talk about Lucas Brzyczki. My God. The one white gazelle.
The White Gazelle. It's a new movie coming out. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, forget about The White Crow. It's all about The White Gazelle now.
Oh, Lucas Brzyczki. Like, he's such a doll. He's so silly. It's the ultimate, like, deconstruction logical endpoint to me of the costume reveal era, to have the laziest, stupidest, most unnecessary, inexplicable one be the one that is the most hype.
I love it.
It's so hype, and it doesn't, there's no...
I love it.
It relates to nothing. There is no reason why it should exist, right? Stevie Wonder is... So are we going from Stevie Wonder or to Stevie Wonder? I can't remember. Two, right?
Two. Yeah, we're going into Superstition.
And so I'm literally sitting here, like, racking my brain, like, why this? And I'm like, is it because it's, like, a Technicolor shirt and Stevie Wonder is blind? Like, I couldn't, but that doesn't make any sense. So I just, like, I couldn't figure it out. It's literally just, like, this song is more fun and let's have, like, a rave Mondrian t-shirt.
I literally think it's this song is more upbeat, therefore colors.
Yeah, you know what? Let's go with that.
But it is a reveal as much as seeing a very low budget drag show on like a Wednesday evening is a reveal. It's just, you know, a queen walks out and she's wearing like a dressing gown and you know there is a little sparkly fucking Charlotte Russe number underneath.
Yes, it's...
And you're still going to hype her up.
It's giving my high school production of Guys and Dolls where I played Adelaide and we had to do Take Back Your Mink and we were essentially wearing like sparkly togas and it was very clear that like during... Which, first of all, it's... it's, I love the show. It's weird that a lot of high schools do it, considering there is just like a full on burlesque striptease number. But
yeah, and it's about gambling.
It's great. It's a great show. But yeah, it was very,
classic.
Very clear when we walked out that we were about to be like not wearing these sparkly ripaway togas that had no sewing to them in a second. Like, it's very that.
Yeah. It's giving, and I keep making drag references because the other thing it's giving is post Sasha Velour finale for like lip sync for your crown looks, where all of them show up. You know, have you seen the meme where it's like everyone's just like fucking bundled up because, you know, all of them are gonna end up having like 17
yes,
reveals?
Yeah,
it's kind of giving that. But I will say it's camp and I enjoy it.
It is. And I think for me, like, no joke, like an important aspect of my experience at Worlds was getting the opinion of my friend Joe, who is a fan of skating because he is married to a huge fan of skating, right? And he's like a big sports fan in general. Like, he'll kind of watch whatever, and he loves all sports. And so he's not like, oh, a begrudging straight man. Like, he'll watch it and get into it. And, like, he doesn't really understand it or have the same history with it that, like, me and Jules and her mom have. But, like, he's been following it and, like, kind of gets it and was, like, totally game to learn and, like, watch everybody. And so I was sitting with him for part of it. But even just, like, we were all sitting together in general. But I was always just really curious to hear his opinions on, like, who he liked, who he was really excited about.
Yeah.
And, like, who caught his attention as someone who's not as in the community or the online community or anything of it. But, like, just who really grabbed his attention as, like, not a total outsider, but as somebody who, like, was a little bit newer to it and a little less knowledgeable about every aspect of it. And, like, Lucas was one of his favorites. Like, he just really, I think, like, his energy, I think, any kind of, like, really fun, like, guy who's just, like, out there to be goofy and charming and party, like, was a big hit with us and with Joe. And I think that that's, like, an energy that is really hard to dislike for me. So that's worth something,
yeah, for
too,
sure.
I think.
For sure. It's kind of why I enjoy watching with my roommate and with his partner as well, because I do get to see that perspective of people who are just mostly here for the vibes. Now, we have lived together for 3 years, and at this point, the man is getting very knowledgeable, but in general, I got, like, kind of the same experience of just watching what they enjoy, and I will say Lucas was a hit with them as well.
He has crossover appeal. Like, he's just, like, I see it. He's kind of, like, he's goofy, but he's handsome, but he's, like, you know, doing fun stuff, and he's kind of self-aware. I haven't watched the whole gala, but his gala is always really, really fun with the, like, 90s hip-hop kind of, like, pastiche, little bit, like, self-aware, like, yeah, I'm a dorky white kid. I think it works. I think there was, like, oh, well, Elash Balde is there. Is this, like, an appropriate thing to do in front of, like, an actual black person who does real, genuine, amazing hip-hop skating? And I'm like, I don't know, man. You'd have to ask. I could have asked him. I didn't meet him, but I walked by him a million times, but he was always busy and I didn't want to bother him. But he's so hot. Sorry, interjection, unrelated. Elash Balde is a beautiful man. But I'm like, you know what?
Me in any conversation.
Unrelated, just, like, inserting it into other conversations. Like, have you heard?
Like, hi, sorry to interrupt.
Have you heard?
Just, like, stopping strangers on the street. Like, hi, do you have a second to talk about the Elash Balde?
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Anyway, but, like, I don't.
That was a thing. Speaking of my roommate, I was trying to kind of explain what the fuck was happening during, like, ice cuts and stuff. And I got to, like, wait, have you not seen his social media? And he was like, no, who is this? Because, again, he is kind of newer into watching skating, and he never got to see Elash when he was competing. And I got to see this beautiful man that I live with, just kind of, like, his eyes just kind of twitched a little. And he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he pulled out his phone and just followed Elash on, like, every platform.
My favorite.
So, you know, we're spreading the good word.
Yeah, and my favorite thing, like, obviously, I don't pretend to be a person who is or should be on Black Twitter, but, like, I do, like, some of my favorites. Like, one of my favorite people that I follow on Twitter is Lacey. Oh my God, what is her last name? Lacey Scam Goddess. What is Lacey's last name?
I have no idea.
Lacey Scam Goddess.
I know her. She's the fucking Lacey
Scam Goddess host, and her last name, I'm going to find this right now. as I want to say Lacey Green, but my God, that's a whole different thing. Lacey, hold on. Let me look. Scam Goddess. Yeah, and her handle is Diva Lacey. Lacey Mosley, who I stand by, I think, is the single funniest human being on planet Earth. She hosts Scam Goddess. It's an amazing podcast. But she had retweeted a video of Elage that had gone viral. And it was just like, it's so nice to see like this joyful black man skating. And like, it just makes me feel really warm when like Haiti goes viral and people are like, it's just really cool to see a black guy skating and being happy and being awesome. Like, and also just being an amazing skater who is doing things no one else can do.
She is so fucking good.
This is, I feel like we're talking about somebody else, but it became about, it became the Elage Balde tea podcast, and that's fine.
And that's valid. Do you want to talk about Jason Brown?
I do. That's like a decent, they've worked, no, they haven't worked together. Have they?
No, they, I don't know if they have.
I feel like...
they've been, like, in ice shows and stuff.
Okay, they've met. And so that's as good of a segue as any for me.
Yeah, no, my one segue is I need to talk about Jason all the time, always.
Curly hair, maybe?
Sure.
Beautiful man with curly hair that we love.
Yeah, there you go.
He, unreal. I mean, I've actually been, I think Jason is one of the skaters I've seen live more than most skaters. And I'm so unbelievably lucky to say that. Like, because I've seen him in, ice shows, live shows.
So
yeah,
jealous.
Just unreal. Never bad. And, like, the season's been up and down. So it was always a little bit like, oh, is he going to fall? Is he going to be out of shape from doing too many professional ice shows or whatever? And he didn't. He was fantastic. He was gorgeous. Talk to me about your experience of seeing your boyfriend.
I wept both programs. He steps onto the ice and I start crying.
Same. And I don't cry. I don't cry very easily. And I didn't cry very much at this competition. I was just so excited and happy to be there. But every single time he does Impossible Dream, it's like when he says the world will be better for this, I'm like, it will. It literally will, because he's out there doing this gorgeous choreography.
Yeah. Like, literally just thinking about it gets me emotional. I have a Pavlovian response to the Impossible Dream at this point. I just hear it and I'm already kind of emotional. It's a lot. Speaking of fucking connecting to the music and understanding it, no one does it like him. I don't think in our lifetime anyone will do it like him. We're just fucking lucky, and I'm excited for next season, because as much as he did fucking Adios and the Impossible Dream, he has not said anything and is looking forward to 2026. So I'm just kind of like, hopeful.
Yeah.
I can watch him compete for the rest of my life.
I was under the impression that it was pretty unequivocal that he was going to try and stick with it till the Olympics. Like, he had specifically said, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, well, I always wonder when people finish their season and kind of, look back on it. But top five at Worlds, absolutely undeniable.
Yeah, and what I'll say also,
the most gorgeous man of all time. I have a
cute story about this, which is, so for that event, for at least the men's free, I think also ice dance, for a lot of the like second half of the competition, I was sitting right behind a lot of women and girls who skate. I'm pretty sure, just from being nosy and kind of observing, who skate at, it's not Ice Academy of Montreal, I don't think, but one of the big skating clubs in Montreal. Like, they knew a lot of the skaters, and they were skaters also, and like they had, like, they just, I don't know, they seem to like know stuff and have like cool shirts and stuff. So they were really, really nice, and they weren't like jerks or anything like that. They were really lovely, like seat neighbors. And They at one point overheard me, because I guess I'm a loud person, newsflash. I was telling Jules, like, hey, remember last year when Jason did Impossible Dream at Worlds and we were in the hallway of our skating rink getting ready for our skating lesson, and I held my breath the entire time? Because Jules, I was like, Jules, do you remember she had hacked her phone to get Peacock on it for me so I could watch it live before our lesson started? And so I was watching it and I held my breath the entire time. And then I, as a result, had an asthma attack on the ice and had to leave practice early. And we were laughing about that, and like the girls in front of us heard and were laughing too, and I was just like, wow, I can't believe I have a story that's relatable to real ice skaters. This is so cool.
Hell yeah. I mean, you do skate.
Like, I have
regardless of level, you do
skate. I have in the past skated. Yes, it's been a while, but yeah, so it was kind of emo too, just to be like, you know, a year ago I was watching this in the ice rink with my friend, and then now we're like literally here. I mean, it's just like time. Aww. It's cool.
Yeah. Time is cool. There's nothing else to say about him. I can watch him for the rest of my life. I always get even more emotional when he's done skating and the fucking pride flags go up. It's the 1-2 punch of Jason Brown skating and then visible pride is a lot for me.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting. He's an interesting case for me of this thing that I'm seeing crop up a lot around like skating discourse, where like newer fans are like, why can't he just retire? I don't get it. And like as much as I want to,
why can they retire from posting?
Yeah, for real. No, but I as much as I want to be like, yeah, fuck you, I disagree. I do think, and I posted about this like last week or so, I think that there's this interesting cycle of like people, and we're not an exception to this, like people have a stronger affinity for skaters that they saw come up.
I mean, yeah.
And so if you're new to the sport, like I do think that it is a little bit or a lot like incumbent upon you, I don't know if I'm using that word right, to like look up some things and do a little reading and research. But yeah, it's like if you didn't watch Jason come up the entire time, then like maybe even if you think he's a great skater, you would be like, I don't fucking get it. And I will admit, like, and I will freely admit, and people, I can see like sniper laser things coming through my window right now, I'll admit that I felt a little bit like that about Yuzu. I didn't necessarily get the cult of personality at first, based on, even though I loved the skating. And then like people who had been watching longer told me about it, and I was like, okay, I get it. So I don't know what I'm trying to say here.
I'm gonna say anything because I've been watching this sport continuously for 20 years and I still feel that way about Yuzu. But I'm not going to say that because I need to go to an ice rink tomorrow, yeah, and I don't want to get killed.
Yeah, I will say like fully like, yeah, and like disclaimer in case you weren't aware, like I really didn't get into men's skating until like 2018, like after the Olympics. I've been into women's skating the whole time, but men's, I was honestly, I'm going to be real, like I'm like many of you, I got into it after watching Yuri on Ice and I was like, oh yeah, this could be cute. So this could be cute.
And now look at where we are. Oh my God.
Yeah. But anyway, all this to say that I think that if you're not used to seeing Jason at a lot of competitions recently because he's been doing the pro circuit, which is also interesting to see that kind of model of career come back, which I think used to be a lot more prevalent, of doing professional skating and competing at the same time. I guess I could see why like a really younger skater would not identify with him as much as like an Ilya or an Isabeau, who's like their age and they get to see them at every competition. But like, I don't know. It's an interesting phenomenon, and I almost like, do what you want to do. But like for me, I think I'm happier being aware that this phenomenon exists and taking that grain of salt with anybody's weird opinion of like, why is Jason Brown getting all these extra weird points? And I'm like, well, they're called PCS. And like, I do agree more people should get them. But like, theoretically, that's what we want, right? We want people to get the PCS points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do. And he is. If not him, there is no one else who should be getting them.
Yeah, I do think that Dennis should be getting closer to what he gets, but I don't know that it's exactly the same, because I think...
No, Dennis is going to be there in a couple years.
I think Dennis has the showmanship and the audience captivation and the it factor. I think there is a certain level of grace and ease and, like, gummy joints that Jason Brown has that Dennis isn't quite there. Like... Dennis doesn't have that thing of his skating doesn't look like anybody else's, but he's getting there.
Yeah, I literally think that if Dennis keeps his form and everything for the next couple of years, it will get there. I don't think it's there just yet.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not sure how to transition into this, but fourth place Shoma Uno.
My God. I will say, just right out of the gate, the top four, fucking bonkers. Shoma was first in the short, undeniable, absolute king shit. And then he showmoed his way into 6th in the free and 4th overall, which, I love him. He stresses me out so much.
Yeah, there's this certain mindset I get into with certain skaters that I think I know is not common just from talking to other people. Like, I know this isn't common. But for me, watching a skater like Shoma, a skater like Jason, anyone who's been around for like and winning and at the top, you know, maybe not getting every single gold medal every time, but somebody who's been consistently on podiums in the conversation for years and years at this point, right? I view them as sort of take these competitions are like them taking a victory lap, them doing a special guest appearance because they're like, you know, the last year's winner giving the crown over. You know what I mean? Like things like that. Like not literally, because I do want to see them win and succeed and do their best. Obviously, if they're choosing to still be in competition, that means I want them to compete as well as they can. But watching them is not an experience for me of element to element holding my breath. Are they going to get it mentally doing the math in my head? It's like I am allowing myself to being transported, taken away, and it's like a whole nother level and nothing about the numbers even matters. It's like a technicality that they're giving numbers to it, but like who fucking cares?
Yeah. I do feel like he skated like that this entire season, and we've talked about it already. And I love this attitude. I appreciate that he's at the point in his career where he can do this and he can have a great showing, but also kind of a rocky showing, and the overall is still rock star shit. You know?
Absolutely. And like, I really wanted to see him win, but like at the same time, what ended up happening, as we will get to in a second, was so chaotic. I can't be mad.
Fucking iconic. No,
but
yeah.
But seeing him is...
This is what had to happen.
Yeah. Was my first time seeing Shoma live. And that was for me kind of the... Like there were a couple skaters that I was like, I'm seeing these skaters live. I don't know if I will see them again. I hope I will, but I don't know. And for me, like Shoma was one of them. And I think probably Kaori was the other one where I was like, this is like a life-defining skater to watch live. And I couldn't believe it. It just, even in warm-ups, I couldn't take my eyes off of him. It was just like another level.
Man, I wish I could see Shoma one more time.
Maybe you will.
As a survivor of fucking International de France 2019.
And you know what?
I just want to see him thrive and be a rock star.
Yeah, well, and it was fun seeing the competition with the people I was with, because Jules and her mom had gone to Skate Canada. I can't remember if they went. I think they went not this past one, but the one before, I think. But maybe they went again this year. I actually can't remember. But they saw Shoma at a Skate Canada. And so they kind of were telling me the things that they found remarkable about his skating. So I had this edge of like, I knew what to watch for. And the thing that was pointed out to me was like, he goes from zero to so much speed with so few strokes.
He is so fast.
It's like, it's the acceleration with so little actual like skating. Like, it's like one crossover or something. Yeah. It's insane. It's so cool. It does like defies physics.
He is very, very fast. And sometimes when you watch on TV, and I noticed that during Worlds, cameras can't quite keep up. There were several times where he fully skated out of frame, which is very funny. But obviously, like, the teams that are producing live and keeping track of which camera is following, I know that's hard work. But it was still very funny that there were several instances of just, like, you see the ice and there is no skater there because he's zoomed past.
Yeah, another thing that's really fun, certainly with any Stefan skater, but definitely Shoma, is watching Stefan. My friend's mom, Laura, one of my traveling companions, brought binoculars to this competition, which was awesome. It was great for watching the coaches and the kiss and cry. She was like, I can't believe more people didn't bring binoculars. And I was like, I don't think most people have them. But just so you know, if you want to bring binoculars into that stadium, the security people were like, yeah, these don't count as prohibited camera lenses. Like, you can have binoculars. So just, you know, FYI. If you're already into bird watching or something, bring your Nox. And
what if you bring like the little opera ones, like a really fancy like porcelain pair?
Yeah, I have my like steampunk ass, like covered in gears, little like pince-nez on here. But No, and
I would respect that so much.
Yeah, why not at a certain point? But yeah, watching Steph was really fun. He likes to slap the boards. He likes to squat down and kind of like peer. He likes to give really, really just like scathing, blistering looks to a Terry and just be such a bitch. It was great.
Good. Good. I respect it.
You know what else I respect?
Before we go into this podium, it was incredible. Adam won the whole thing for me in terms of storytelling because he was 19th in the short. He fucking fell apart. I think the weight of the possibility of the podium really caught up to him. I think he was unfocused and just kind of not harnessing his energy in the right way. And then he was second in the fucking free, third overall. This is the biggest jump anyone has done. Like, he bested the record for placement jump from 19th into third. And it was undeniable, and it was iconic. And it felt, you tell me how it felt in the arena, but at home, it felt like we were watching a fucking, like, rock concert. We were screaming. It was so good.
Yeah, it was crazy. I think I agree with you. It's been a real funny divide between if you speak to people who follow the sport really, really closely, Adam was, like, the popular vote, right? And then if you speak to people who don't, follow it really, really closely and are just like hearing about what they heard on like Good Morning America, they're like, oh, Ilya, oh my gosh. And so I've had to say to a lot of coworkers, like, oh yeah, absolutely Ilya. But like, also, did you hear about Adam? And then I would tell them, they would be like, oh my God, I'm going to go look at this kid. So it's interesting, sort of the difference there. But I think my experience watching it live was basically I saw Adam, I was devastated, right? Like, we're so devastated. It sucked ass, right? It's like, at any world championships, you expect to see a couple of people that are really fucking incredible just, like, fall apart. Like, I think, I felt like I was watching another cow, right? But then I was like, oh, my God, no. This is, like, a real, like, he's not going to make the free skate. Like, holy shit. And so the fact that he even made the free skate was a surprise. And then I think, you know, he came out free skate. Earlier group, we were like, I was like, oh, my God, I don't know what we're going to see. Are we going to see another breakdown? Like, I just want this kid to have a good skate. And that was honestly my thought the entire time, was like, I'm just so happy for him that he's having a redemption skate. I know it's not going to matter or make a big difference, but I'm so, because I was like, I wasn't doing the math. That's crazy math. And so I'm just watching and I'm emotionally feeling like I'm so happy for him. I have a very bad habit of, I don't know if it's a habit or a curse, but I have a tendency when I'm at live competitions to look down at the worst moments. So I did miss the backflip. I saw him do his aerial, and then I looked down at my phone for 1 second, and that was, I didn't realize he was going to do the backflip right after. But it was unreal. And I just, like, seeing the score come in, you're like, oh, holy shit, yeah, he could be top 10. And then it just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. We're like, oh my God, Adam, hello.
It felt crazy on the stream as well, because Mark and Tanya, who are commentating, and did fantastic, gorgeous, wonderful job. It was so much fun. Kept being like, well, he is still in first, like, for the duration. It felt like one of those moments, you know, one of those moments that 20 years from now you're going to remember. Obviously, we're going to remember Ilya because he's doing historical fucking quad axel bullshit. But the resilience of knowing that you're just mostly skating to prove a point and still making podium is fucking iconic to me.
So true. So true, bestie. And also, like, watching Benoit lose his ever-loving shit. Like, it's so funny when a really, when a really stoic person loses their fucking mind. It's really funny.
Yeah, they posted, like, videos of him fucking going at it in the boards. And it made me happy. It made me laugh.
Yeah, like, in real time, I was like, I think Jules was like, look at Benoit, is he okay? And I was like, oh my God.
Is he okay? Good question. Always a good question about Benoit. I love him. I will say, you're so fucking lucky to not have been on the internet for the duration of this event, because a lot of us, and I will say a lot of older, more seasoned skating fans, who were just like, yeah, this is iconic, this is great, whatever happens will be amazing. And then there was a bunch of teenagers who were like, oh my god, what if the backflip deduction is what costs him podium? And it's like, that's not why we're here, bestie. This, yes, it's iconic that he ended up on the podium, but it would have been iconic either way. And honestly, missing the podium by the 1 point that would have been the fucking deduction would have been maybe just as punk rock, I think. But I had to mute so many people. I love Worlds because after Worlds, I come out a brand new person with a new algorithm because I mute so many. You can use a fucking emoji I don't like, you're muted. It's great.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that I remember thinking right away, like, that was a good enough performance that the backflip actually might have mattered. And immediately after he did it, maybe not immediately, because, like, obviously some of the higher scoring, better skaters didn't go yet. But pretty quickly, right? Like, after, you know, once we had gotten into the final group, it was abundantly clear, like, way ahead of time that it would not have made a difference. Like, it... So it's like we had all this time to know ahead of time that it was not a question of whether that 1 point would have made a difference because the spread was big enough. So like, it, you know what I mean? Like, it was mathematically visible that like a couple of points would not have made the difference at all.
You would fucking think, but some people on the internet, and I know it sounds so shady when I'm like some people, but it's literally because I don't remember, because I don't care enough, respectfully. There was discourse. And it felt odd because sometimes I wonder if people like watching this fucking sport. And I know our sport is deeply broken on many, many levels and there is shit to actually fix. But sometimes I feel like people don't like having fun with the fun parts of it. And I wonder why
That's
they keep
real.
Coming back.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want to see the epic highs and lows, why are you watching?
That's true. One final thing I will say about Adam is that he said afterwards in an interview that they were like, what was it like sitting there for hours and hours and hours? And he was like, I was really hungry. I wanted a snack so bad. And I was like, why didn't anyone bring him chicken fingers? Like, that's unacceptable. Like, Benoit didn't bring him some popcorn.
Some
hello?
Fucking French wine and cheese. I don't know.
Something. Bring him a baguette. Bring him some poutine. Bring him some poutine.
It would have been so iconic to just fucking have, like, a glass of wine in the little green room kissing cry moment.
It.
People would have hated him. People would have blamed his fucking French air games or whatever the fuck. Anyway, Yuma Kageyama. Speaking of imagining a dragon.
You know what? Yuma Kageyama. I liked this Imagine Dragons short program the best I ever liked seeing it live. And it wasn't just because it was live. He finally, I feel like,
hell
really
yeah.
hit all the accents and the music. That's been my, like, bugbear with this the entire season. I just wanted to see him hit the accents and the music. And he hit them. And, yeah, all of the pain parts
pain
he really hit. Like, he
parts.
Really just, he nailed it. It was like an unstoppable juggernaut the whole way through. That's how it feels whenever he skates to me, is that he gets going and then it's like one completely unbroken, just like scream of like, rah! Just like, it's just, it's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he is so electric to watch. I was completely thrilled. Throughout, I don't know what to say. I think we talked about this last episode, is people keep being like, you know, who is he? And it's like, he is your current reigning Olympic silver medalist. Like, he is undeniably one of the best out there. And I feel like this showing at Worlds really, really,
yeah,
really,
and there's a lot of people,
well,
and like somewhat me included, who just really would have liked to see him win. And I think there was, you know, there was controversy because, you know, afterwards he said in his press conference, like, I was just, that whole thing, the thing with the press conference, he was like, I was disappointed because I knew mathematically, like, it didn't, like, I couldn't win. And there was a lot of people being like, well, that's fucked up and that shouldn't be the way. And I'm like, maybe, but also I feel like you will find that that is often true based on just like people's planned layouts, and has often been true among the top men for a long time. And like, I think that
it depends on who's the person who can't be mathematically beaten, whether we get upset or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I agree with you. However, Ilya, who is growing on me, gets a lot of bonus points because of the hype. The quad axel is iconic. It's historic. It is insane that we keep seeing it. It is insane that he keeps doing it so well. It is insane that he was doing a fucking quad lutz quad loop combo a couple days back. It's insane. However, mathematically, and people will argue whether that's good or bad, the quad axel is not worth that much more than the rest of the quads. And he is not that fucking much better on the second mark to warrant the 21 point difference or like 20 whatever point difference. It doesn't. That is what kind of annoys me. It doesn't piss me off. I was going to say it pisses me off. It doesn't. It kind of annoys me. Is that I would understand if the quad axel cost like 27 points. I'm exaggerating for dramatic effect. But if it was like 17 points for just the base value and then he gets the fucking grade of execution because it's so unshakable and great, I would get that. But it's not worth that much more. So where do the points come from? Because yes, he has worked on his PCS and he is maybe better. And I do have some takes about that in a second. But for Yuma to know that it's mathematically impossible is fucked up for me. Because he is, if we take out the jumps and we just make them skate.
Oh, absolutely. And I also think like Yuma's technique is superb. I think like some of the point discrepancy is coming from the fact that like, it's little like, you know, Lutz versus flip versus like this combo versus that combo. And like just the numbers like a little bit is that like Ilya also has just like unbelievable combos. And it's so part of it is composition. But I also would love to see because I haven't seen this. You tell me if you have. I would love to see like a mathematical breakdown. Maybe our buddies at Skating Scores can do this or buddy. I don't know why I always assume it's more than one person because it's.
Because it's many scores.
So I'm like,
it's
scores, skating, plural. There's lots so of them. We assume there's one person for each score. Hello, friend. If you, is there a way to see like all tech things being equal? Like what kind of a difference in PCS scoring would have had to occur for Yuma to win? And is it and would it have occurred in a world with like better judges, or is it something that would never have occurred and like Ilya would have had to get like fives or something? You know what I mean? Like, would it have made a difference is my question.
Well, isn't that, I guess what we're looking for here is just the PCS, right?
That's yeah, exactly. What it exactly. Been. Like, it's a matter of kind like, obviously not, rescoring not is quite, subjective, but like what degree?
Yuma won PCS.
Right, but I'm sure Ilya won tech by more than 3 points. So I'm just saying, like, what kind of rescoring on PCS would have had to occur? And is it the kind of rescoring that could happen or, like, could not have happened?
Yeah. I don't know. It does, I'm looking at protocols, which is never a good idea. It just doesn't. And obviously, Yuma had a fall on the triple axel before anyone comes for me on that. Yes, it wasn't completely clean, so that's not the discussion we're having. I don't like that some people have started kind of doing the same thing that we do every fucking generation, where they're gonna bill Ilya as the tech person and Yuma as the like artistic skater, because Yuma is so undeniably good.
Oh yeah, I think Ilya's jump. I think Yuma's jump technique is genuinely some of the best I have ever seen. Like better than, you know, insert XYZ favorite skater here. I think for me it's a question of like, do I think based on the skating I saw with my eyeballs and that I experienced with my heart, do I think that Yuma should have won? Yes. Do I think that mathematically a problem occurred and that like he was an injustice was done? That's my question of, like, I'm not actually sure. I would believe it, but I would also believe it if it wasn't possible, in the same way that, like, Adam's backflip didn't actually end up mattering score-wise. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think maybe in this particular case, the layouts were such that it wasn't mathematically possible. I don't think it was fucking 19, 18 points difference possible. Like, that's what starts bugging me, is this kind of push for kind of bettering world records and all of that, and with kind of math,
yeah,
that just comes from somewhere. But I really just hope that this doesn't let Yuma go into his next season with the idea of, like, well, I'm now competing for silvers.
Yeah, and I guess maybe I'm being optimistic about it, but I didn't get that level of, like, dejection, sad boy, I should just give up from that. I think that that's something that, like, fans project onto skaters. They project, like, this hyper-exaggerated emotional thing onto their skaters, which, like, what...
Do you think it's because most of us got into men's figure skating from Yuri and
Ice? Honestly, yeah. Like, I think that's part of it. I think that, like, it's not... Like, the skaters aren't necessarily... Maybe. I can't read minds, but I don't know if they're really out there, like, having a mental dialogue of, like, my whole life was worth it because of this moment. They're probably thinking about, like, okay, I'm going fast. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know what they're thinking. We'll ask next time we talk to a skater, but... I think that he does have tech things he can work on. You know what I mean? And also, Ilya can mess up. And, like, that's, he kind of said as much. He said, I'm going to improve what I can improve. And every competition is different. And that's the whole thing with the sport, is that, like, it's not auto chess. We're not just running, like, AI skating. It's in the moment, anything can happen. So,
yeah,
worth doing your best every time.
Yeah. Let's talk about Ilya.
Let's do it.
Actually,
let's do it. I
know he had a good time.
Yeah. And I felt as though his short program, like, deserves to be in third, and his free skate, I don't know if it deserved to be in first, but, I will say what I experienced, which was, like, I don't know, the whole time I was like, I want to like him, but I also don't really want to see him win because I feel like he's not going to be better than whoever came in second. And, like, I don't know if I feel that differently about that now. But what I will say is that he won me over in person with his free skate more than he ever had before with any of his skating. And for me, the difference was he came out onto the ice and he had a certain level of bearing and swagger and, like, awareness of the audience.
His swagger and his bearing... And the just right... Are you Ring of Keysing fucking Ilya Malenin?
I'm so sorry. I don't... That... I'm so... Oh, my God. Am I? Like, holy shit. That came out of my mouth. Holy shit.
Yeah. You just... You got possessed by fucking Alison Bechdel.
Well, okay. That just fucking happened. I don't know how we come back from that, but I'll try.
Someone just came onto the ice like no one I ever saw before. And it's this allegedly homophobic American teenager boy. I know he's not homophobic.
I just...
slash J.
I'm so... I don't even know if I can come up with a word to describe what I'm feeling right now as a result of that. But whatever. Okay, so let me try and recover this.
Do you think that this conversation... Wait, fuck. So far, this episode does not pass the Bechdel test because all we've done is talk about men.
You know, but now we've talked about Alison Bechdel.
Yeah, does it also, in before any of y'all beautiful lesbians at me, I know the Bechdel test was made up as a joke and people take it as an actual commentary on media literacy, and it's not that. I know that. However, this also jokes.
Yes. So, okay, let me rephrase.
He came out and he had a certain level of swagger.
He had a certain level of presence where I felt like his posture and the way he acknowledged the audience, the way he carried himself, felt like he had a gravitas to him that he knew he was, like, about to do some king shit. And that's something that I didn't realize I was missing from him, because I think in the past his demeanor had struck me as kind of sheepish teen boy. Not
really,
not taking it that seriously. And I think that I think that the level of hype boy arrogance, or whatever you want to call it, I don't know that it's arrogance is the right word. I'm just trying not to say swagger and bearing again. whatever he was carrying himself with before struck me as like frat boy teenager, like, front. And this was the first time it felt like a young man who knows he's spectacular and was about to come out and do his very best and be like, this is my moment. Like, it felt like a young star athlete being like, I'm a young star athlete. Like, it felt appropriate and understated enough that it didn't feel like forced or arrogant. It just felt correct. And I was like, yeah, this feels good. And then he carried that through the program. And I was like, yeah.
I believe that. I also always love visible celebration from any skater. And I felt like his whole, you know, collapsing onto the ice and just like being so visibly happy also kind of won me over.
Yeah. And I think
I always like seeing the facade, the swagger and the bearing kind of crack a little. And I like to see the emotion that, you know, fuels whatever performative, you know, arrogance or hype that people carry.
Yeah. And I think like two things I want to say. One, I think there's obviously that parallel that people draw with Nathan, right, as like the incredible technician who people have different opinions about the artistry. We've always been on record as like, we like Nathan's style. We know it's not for everybody, but like we see the art in it. And I think that doesn't exist in Ilya's style. Like, I don't see that same...
Not yet. No,
I don't see the same, like, ballroom ballet carriage that Nathan has always had in Ilya. But I think that the level of presence I did start to see. And so that was one thing that was reminiscent. I was like, okay, yeah, like, I did see that level of presence.
I believe that.
And then the other...
I've had this note... Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. Go for it. Because I was about to kind of change the subject a little bit.
I'm also changing the subject. I want to go back to his short program, to his Malagueña, because I've had a note on my phone since March 21st, which says it has a big title. You know how notes, like the first line is a big, bold title. It's a take to share on podcast.
Perfect.
And then it says, Ilya looks like he's in on the bit with us instead of earnestly feeling the clapping and slapping, which makes me question it. And I know what I meant by that. I figured out, finally, end of the fucking season, I figured out why I don't like this short program for him. Everyone was like, oh yeah, you know, he's finally started working on his PCS and he's connecting more. And that's true. However, in the fucking moment where it's actually like, you know, he holds his hands up and he's doing the little fucking claps in the steps, he had this expression, this kind of wink, which I love from a comedian, but he had this thing of like, it felt like he was telling me, you and I both know I gotta do this, like, lol, watch me clap and slap, which I don't care for as much as I care for actually letting the spirit of the Malagueña possess you.
Huge.
To an extent where you actually clap and slap.
Huge agree. I think that falls under the category of what I believe we used to say in grad school, which is like, sucking isn't funny. Oh, wait, no, that was from college. I think that was a college thing.
No, yeah, but you brought it into.
Is that it's that very specific comedy vibe of like, yeah, I get it, this sucks, and like, I'm not trying, and like, it's funny, but it's like, it's not. And so it was kind of, yeah, I agree with you. I didn't see his facial expressions as clearly, but like, I buy that. I want him to go to the Lucas Bridgeky school of white boy with incredible swag and like learn a thing or two.
Does anyone know of any white boys with incredible swag? Yeah, no, there's something about it that just feels, and I can't say performative because all of it is performative because it is a performance art, duh. But there was something about it, and I clocked it this time around and finally fucking clicked, where that's what I don't like about it. Because I don't want to do the thing, and I swear I'm not going to keep drawing the parallels. The thing with Nathan that some people are like, oh, why does he keep doing, you know, the minimalist kind of training gear, costumes and all of that, is because he attempted early on to branch out and people didn't like that. People, for whatever reasons, were like, oh, you shouldn't be doing the big flouncy costumes and the things. And I appreciate that Delia did. I love his little Toreador getup. I think it's fun. I appreciated it. I wish he wouldn't tell me that he's in on the LOL, I gotta try different things. I think that's it. I think that's where I've arrived here.
Totally. And I think that that is under the umbrella of, like, kind of letting go of that self-consciousness of, oh, I have to emote now. You know what I mean? He's close. He's getting there. I want to say, too, that it just, like, felt worth mentioning that he had been really vocal, that he had been struggling with some mystery thing that he, like, didn't specify. Going in, like, he wasn't sure if he was going to come in the days leading up to it. He didn't know if he was going to do the quad axel till he stepped on the ice. He's mentioned, like, mental health stuff, circumstances, stuff he didn't want to go into. And I honestly, like, commend him for not feeling like he owed an explanation or a lie or whatever. Like, I really think that I think that it's cool that he did that. And I hope that that opens a door for more people to feel like they don't owe everybody all the details of their life. And I say that knowing that I do that, but, like, I do that anyway. So whatever. And I'm not a star figure skater, so who cares? But
it could have very well been, you know, after he was third in the short, he could have come out and did his whole, you know, America's Got Talent, here is the sob story of why I'm not up to whatever. And he didn't, and I really respect that.
I mean, I think he was saying from day one, too, it wasn't even just, like, a random thing of, like, oh, I didn't do well and here's why. It was, like, he was very clear from day one. And, yeah, no, I respect that he didn't want to talk about it. I think it's, like, I don't know. I think it was brave and cool. And, like, it's nice to know that skaters can acknowledge that they're going through something difficult, regardless of what that might be. And they don't have to owe everybody a huge explanation about it. And so, but just, I don't know, I did feel from him, like, a weariness, probably confirmation bias from knowing that. But at the same time, like, it did make me root for him. Like, I do root for people who are going through things, as someone who is frequently going through things.
Yeah. And also, like, the relief at the end also makes sense. You know, being so happy, being so thrilled and relieved and overwhelmed by it makes even more sense. Obviously, even if everything in his life was 1,000,000,000% incredibly great, it would have still been the same and it would have been very joyful. But there is something very humanizing to knowing that he was going through some stuff and then he really, really, really delivered. And then in his little, you know, winter interview, he thanked you guys. He was, you know, he was like, it was the audience that, you know, when there was only one set of fucking blade trails on the ice, it was when the audience carried him.
Yeah, it was nice to be in an audience where literally every single skater talked about how great we were. I kind of, like, fixed all of my self-esteem issues, not going to lie. I'm single-handedly responsible for everything. No, but I agree. And I think one last thing I want to say is that I wish I could remember who it was on Twitter, but I saw somebody mention that, and who knows if this is true, but, like, I don't have any reason to believe it's not, that they sort of had noticed that Ilya is very much, like, followed or surrounded by a PR person who's very, like, on top of what he says and how he expresses himself. And I feel like that's smart because he's a teenager and we know what happens when he, but also any teenager, just says shit. I don't think it's a bad thing. And I don't necessarily even think that his real personality is some big secret that we're being hidden from. But I do think it's worth noting, just because any analysis of how he holds himself in any given picture or interview or anything is always, like, we know for a fact he has a PR team. So, like, just that knowledge means, like, you have to take it with a grain of salt of, like, any picture you're seeing was probably approved to be put on Instagram type thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true of kind of all of them, honestly. Like, unless there's any of them that we know for a fact do not have a PR team, like, it could be true of any of them. And quite frankly, I think it should be true of at least the minors. I think it would be smart, but whatever.
For fucking sure. I honestly think that the minors should have their own private accounts on the internet, because obviously, like, you want to share things and you want to all of that. But I do think that your public social media should be curated, first of all, for their, you know, public image and whatever, but secondly, for their own protection. People are weird on the internet, and it's maybe nice for them to not have to see all of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Which brings me back to Alyssa, kind of, because God knows I love them so much and their Instagram presence is deeply unhinged. And I have no idea how they're going to transition from, like, Gen Z party pics with the 0.5 lens into posting, you know, thanks so much to Skate America for letting me skate in Boston or, like, whatever. I'm excited to see the balance of that. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and this is a person who did originally retire in, like, a very hilariously casual Instagram message. So, yeah. Like, who's to say?
With, like, the skull emoji.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the kids should learn from me and just have 7 Instagram accounts for different facets of their lives. It keeps things separated, and it's nice.
It does. Is there anyone we want to honorable mention before we move on to women? Because I have a couple.
Fucking all of them.
I know.
I was not joking when I said top 40. Donovan Carrillo is the most special man on
literally, like,
the planet.
I have to tell you Donovan anecdotes. So I did not see him outside of the rank this time, but he was in the first group of the skaters in the free skate, I think. And he came out as a, like, leader immediately and then held that position kind of up until, like, roughly Adam-ish. Like, there was other stuff, but
yes.
In addition to the skater kids and, like, adults too, there was a pair of women who were totally decked out in, like, full Donovan Stan gear and, like, bedazzled hats, Mexican flags, and they were speaking Spanish, and understand Spanish, but there was at one point a man who came up to them who I'm sorry. I'm, like, literally just interpreting what I think was happening in a language I don't speak. So, like, huge grain of salt. I don't think he was, like, a friend of theirs that they knew, or maybe they had just met him. I got the feeling he was with Donovan. I know Donovan's family was there, so I didn't know if he was a family member or a dad or a grandpa or somebody, but he was a man who I thought, like, it seemed like he was on Donovan's team, right? I think he had one of those badges and stuff. And he was asking them if at some point, like, after Donovan skates or, like, at the ice cut or whatever, if he could take a photo of them with the Mexican flag. And, like, he had basically, like, someone from Donovan's team had found that there was, like, specifically Mexico Donovan stands in the house and wanted to, like, have a special moment with them. And then also he, like, brought them sodas and was, and I think there was an exchange of, like, no, this is on me. Like, thank you kind of thing. It was really cute. So, I was super stoked to have, like, the Donovan stand section in front of me, and they were, like, they were great. They were the best. It was truly, like, he's the prince. He just is.
Yeah, I adore him. He has such rockstar factor. It's incredible. And also, it is so gratifying and fun and exciting that he used to be the kid that we're like, oh yeah, he's from a small Fed. He's very campy, blah, 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 blah. He's a great entertainer, and we know that's going to be it. And now he's top 15 in the fucking world, and he is working on his quads, and he's just a very well-rounded all-around performer now and competitor. And again, he sometimes practices on public fucking ice on at the mall.
Right. And I do.
It's his story is so impressive and exciting. And I know he's moved at this point and he stopped doing that, but.
Well, and not only that, but, like, again, from the perspective of, like, my friend Joe, who didn't know his whole entire background story, like, if you don't know Donovan's whole story and you just see Donovan skate out, do the skates that he does, and then, like, from his point of view, the audience reaction was all just, he's an incredible skater and we love him for that reason. And it is. But then also on top of that, we were like, oh, and also here's his history. Like, no skaters really come from Mexico. He didn't have the resources. He didn't have the practice ring, blah, blah, blah. And that's, like, extra on top of that. That's, like, lore that people don't even know. And it's crazy that that used to be his whole thing. And now it's, like, lore that people, only the deep lore that people know, and now he's just, like, the star skater.
Yeah.
Who else? Let's see. Roman had a mixed bag, but, like, his short was great. It's always a treat to see Camden, even if he didn't have his best skate. As he put it, I think, what did he say? Level 4 spins, though?
Level 4 spins, though. He said, I think it was very smart. He's very analytical always. He talked about how he felt like he gave not enough energy in one of his performances and then too much energy in the other. I can't remember which one was which, but it speaks to like a level of insight that I really appreciate, that he can look back and be like, oh, this is why this package didn't work out.
Totally.
And it sounds like a thing that you can like really practice to correct, which is awesome.
Yeah. And I want to say also that it was awesome to see Walter Virtanen. He had, I think, the best spread eagle of the entire day. He did like a full rotation and then some.
Yeah.
All the whole circle around, yeah. All amazing. The doctor was in. It was great. He, you know, came and watched everybody after. That was like one of the most fun things, honestly, was like looking around the stadium and like seeing which skaters had
clocking,
like seeing which skaters had come to watch other disciplines or like other skaters. Like at one point, one of the ice dancers, oh my God, what is his name? I'll look this up before we record Patreon, but is it the boy ice dancer from Korea, the Korean pair, that the Korean ice dance team that's really, really good. It's like Yaquan or something.
Yes.
Yeah. He was friends with all of the Canadian skaters in front of us because I think he trains in Canada and is Canadian or at least lives in Canada. So he came and sat in front of us at one point.
I do think he is.
Yeah.
Canadian.
And
he is Canadian.
Yeah. So he was sitting with all those people, like his friends and stuff. And it was funny because I was trying to like read his, I was being like rude and like reading his phone over his shoulder and seeing like all of his famous skater Snapchat contacts, but I won't say anything I saw because I didn't see anything really juicy. But and sorry, that's also really rude. I'm sorry to this man. I would never, even if I saw anything good, I would never say anything. I respect your privacy. But I thought it was fun that he like showed up and hung out with his friends and like watched everybody. So little things like that, seeing who in the audience came to see everybody else. Finally, I want to say Jin Bo-young, I was so excited to finally see him. It sucked because his short program, Vienna, is like kind of my favorite program of the season. And I hated seeing it flop like that.
Yeah, it was sad, man. I hope he's doing well. But he is one of those people that, like, anytime he shows up, it is his moment. You know, he, at this point, is so iconic that it really felt, and I will say that across the board, the audience really, really felt very knowledgeable, and y'all felt like you guys knew what you were watching and supporting people when they faltered and everything.
I mean, yeah, I like to think so. I think the audience was really, really supportive, and it did seem like a knowledgeable audience. It kind of surprised me the degree to which, like, as we were just saying, like, the skaters were kind of moving about everybody like the civilian, like civilians, and they were like, yeah, like they would be asked for like an autograph or a conversation or something in the hallway or whatever, but nobody was ever like mobbed. And I was like, this is really respectful, honestly, because the type of people that would go to Worlds, I would expect them to like make a bigger deal out of just seeing a random skater, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I thought it was really respectful that everybody kind of was polite, and like all the skaters that I saw having fan interactions were really, really excited to talk to fans, and nobody seemed like overwhelmed or anything. So
yeah, I think that's a good vibe. I've said that before. I get starstruck. It's really hard for me to get starstruck, so it's always weird when I see people like really lose their shit about other human beings who just happen to be good at a sport or music or acting or whatever. So it's nice to hear that everyone got to have like a good, chill, fun time.
And that concludes our coverage of the men's portion of Worlds 2024. The reason we don't have a real outro is because I looked at the clock at this point in recording and realized that I was going to be late for my day job. So in lieu of that, we recommend that you just hop on over to part two and listen to us talk about some women, our favorite thing to do. And at the end of that episode, we have all of our usual outro stuff where we thank our wonderful patrons. Thank you, wonderful patrons. And talk about social media and stuff. So we will see you there momentarily, I'm sure. Bye-bye.